Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
4 o'clock here on The Fan on this Friday. If you are a Yankee fan, I've got, I don't know if this is good news. I don't know if it's bad news either. It's just news for you if you're not aware of it. The Yankees will not play baseball tonight. It is raining, it is windy, and it is disgusting in Cleveland, Ohio. So earlier today, it was actually like 4 hours ago, the Cleveland Guardians did not waste any time, and they rained tonight's Yankee game out. So no Yankee baseball tonight on The Fan, which means on AM and FM, you'll get to hear the Brooklyn Nets against your New York Knicks. How about that? A little Nets-Knicks action. And the Yankees are going to play a doubleheader on Saturday against Cleveland with a 12:10 first pitch and then a 6:10 first pitch. So two baseball games on Saturday. That's our first Yankee rainout of the year. We've already had three-man rainouts because they had the two rainouts against Detroit that were made up in a doubleheader. And then the rainout against Atlanta, game three of the four-game series that'll be made up in September. So, yes, the rain continues to fall. I think the Mets will be fine this weekend. I think our weather should be okay. It's supposed to rain a little bit today, but it should be cleared up in time for Mets Kansas City. Right, Rosie? He's the weather guy. Yeah, we're all good. Mets Royals tonight. They play tomorrow as well. And then Sunday's the big day. They're going to retire Doc Gooden's number. I'll be in the building. I heard Sal say he's going to the game. Hopefully the place will be packed. Everybody will be excited. It'll be very cool to have Doc retire that number or have that number retired. In fact, Doc's going to join us coming up in about 40, 45 minutes. So that'll be very, very cool. Now, I want to clean this up, how I say this, because this can come across very dirty. Hi, SNY, by the way. There's a podcast, and the guy's concept of the podcast is I'm going to give you a haircut, and I'm going to interview you why I give you a haircut.
Okay.
And I was like, that's a freaking good idea. Hmm. Like, there's a podcast, I forget what it's called, it's probably pretty popular, where you eat, like, hot sauce. And then you get interviewed.
The hot sauce. Yeah.
What's it called? Hot ones, you
said?
Hot
ones, hot ones.
Hot ones. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm like,
any gimmick works.
I got a gimmick.
Okay.
I got a gimmick. All right. I want to be very careful here. If you interview somebody while.
What?
Yeah. Could you imagine that?
No. There's no.
Could you imagine that kind of interview?
The content would not make any sense.
Like, so the guy or the gal is getting interviewed, and while they're getting interviewed, yeah.
No.
Has nobody done that yet? Like, no adult company has said, I got this great idea. You don't understand what I'm saying, do you, Sean?
I'll just, sexual or bathroom? What are we talking about?
No, sexual, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bro, God bless you that you could think about multiple things at once. But
that's what would make it fascinating.
Like, not for the female.
Or never ending.
What kind of answer are they going to be? Like, so the reason I bring this up is Tom Brady did an interview on, I think it's called The Cut or something like that. And the concept is he's getting a haircut.
Yeah.
So this quote, this clip we're about to play, and we'll talk about Tom Brady playing football again, occurred while the guy was giving him a haircut. And I thought it was brilliant. I was like, I got to give the guy credit. And it had my brain working on all the different things one can be doing while being interviewed. And yeah, eventually I went to the X-rated world.
Oh, jeez.
You don't think that would be fascinating?
No, not at all.
Would you not be able to?
It would be so distracting.
Would you not be able to be
I wouldn't care what the interview is. Like, seriously, I wouldn't care.
Hey, Dickie, what'd you think of Tom Coughlin?
I don't hear a word he said.
And a haircut's like, what, 20 minutes? The other activity's what, like, under five?
I mean, it depends.
Being honest, you know?
It'll be like a halftime interview with a head coach. Get that best two questions in.
We all have, like, three moves, let's be honest.
But here's the thing. I should have been more specific. You're not like, whatever. Anyhow, I don't want to get into the actual activity, but there's a certain activity where you're just talking. Like, things are happening, you're talking.
I'm aware.
You probably would have a lot of time to talk because you're distracted by whatever the interview is. You don't think this is my most brilliant idea?
No, this is Craig Carton's brilliant idea.
But he didn't come up with it.
I know.
Don't give him credit for it.
This is Craig Carton speaking through Evan Roberts.
You think he would come up with this brilliance?
No, I'm just saying it's the nonsensical nature of it.
If I told him the idea, he'd say it's the dumbest thing ever. He actually wouldn't even find it interesting.
It's not even like possible.
It's not even possible?
No.
All right. That's just my opinion.
Not with our digital team, it isn't.
I didn't say we were doing it.
I'd be happy to volunteer.
I'm sure you would. Anyhow, Tom was getting a haircut. That's all he was getting. Mm-hmm. While he was asked a question about coming back. And I want to put this in the tiki chair because I'm curious if you take this as Tom Brady being serious or Tom Brady looking for attention or Tom Brady being funny. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's Tom Brady getting a haircut, being asked about potentially playing football again.
One day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots,
somebody,
Raiders, look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down. Would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Right. Mm. So this is just a prompt. It's a prompt answer.
What do you mean?
Meaning it means nothing. Means absolutely nothing.
You don't think he's thinking about coming
nobody
back?
Nobody should look at this headline and be like, Tom Brady's thinking about coming back from football. Dude, ask. Whoever's doing the interview, I don't know who it was.
Giving the haircut.
Right. From Deep Cuts. I don't know his name.
Whatever his name is. He asked the question. It's a hypothetical question, which likely is never going to be a realistic option for
him. Hold on.
The reality
is... That part's not true. I know that.
But I know, but people are going to hear or read this and say... Oh, Tom's thinking about coming back. He's not. He was just asked a question. Now, the reality is that Tom is about to become a minority owner, and that's what he was alluding to. And I don't know if the league has rules against this, but I would imagine if you're a minority owner in a team and playing for a different team, there's a severe conflict of interest.
Yeah, I don't think you could do that. I don't even think you could play for the said team.
I think you're right.
So I think he's right. There are rules against it.
If there are confusion about that, there needs to be clarity on that.
But if memory serves correct, Michael Jordan was also a minority owner of the Washington Wizards, and he divested in it while he played for the 2 years in Washington.
I don't know if that's what you're saying is exactly true in the NFL, because I believe I don't remember the timing, but you know Warwick Dunn is a minority owner in the Atlanta Falcons,
right?
And he's done ridiculously well from the time his investment to what the value of the team has exploded to. But I can't remember if it was while he was playing or immediately after he was playing that he became a minority owner. So it's not like Tom's the first to do this.
But
when Warwick retired, he was done.
No, I get that. I'm just saying, like, what Michael showed you is that he was a minority owner. He divested his interest because he wanted to come back and play. I agree. I don't know the specific rules of the NFL, but the point is you can still do it.
But I don't think he's actually thinking about it.
Well, okay.
I think he's just answering a question.
Right, but there's two parts to this. Number one, the way it was framed was, would a team call him? Would you agree that a team will call him? A team called Philip Rivers a couple years
ago. Yeah, but he was like immediately retired.
Not to pour on.
But Brady's 46 years old, 48 years old.
Shouldn't his case have already presented itself if it was going to happen? Wouldn't, and I'm not, this is not
and
a
there were a lot, yes, you're right. Last year it should have.
The Jets, even or, if it wasn't
or
early.
Any, or any team.
Right.
Last year there were a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah, 17 rookie quarterbacks started last year.
No, I get you. And maybe
Tom Brady was a much better option than most of them.
And by the way, we don't know if it did happen. Maybe he was called. Maybe he said no. Maybe this year's different. I don't know. But where I disagree with you is if someone asked you the same question, you're a former NFL player, would you come back? I think at this point at age 49, so you're basically the same age as Tom Brady, which is funny, that you would say unequivocally no.
I would say unequivocally no.
Why didn't he do that?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Because he hasn't been retired for 17 years.
Because it's possible he would consider it.
Because he's been retired for 2 years.
Right, but that also means he would consider it. Like, I didn't take that answer, and that's why context matters, not just reading something in black and white. That's what he said. That didn't sound like a joke to me. That didn't sound like, let me just answer the guy's question. It actually sounded like a guy who was answering honestly, and then in the middle of it pivoted to, I'll always be in good shape. But his initial answer was, yeah, why not?
You already know.
I think he's just answering the question. He's humoring the interviewer. That's what that sounded like.
Here is the key question, and Andrew Marchand is the guy for this case. If he hasn't done it already, if he has, I apologize. Mr. Media Mogul Andrew Marchand.
Mm-hmm.
In his contract, Tom Brady's TV contract, where he's getting paid a crap ton of money to be on Fox.
$37 million?
Does Tom Brady have an out if he wants to play football? That's the key to all this. Because if he starts broadcasting, and look, you work with a guy almost in a similar situation to Matt Ryan. There were rumors about Matt Ryan from the Jets and other teams.
Yeah, but
I don't know Matt's contract, but did Matt have the ability, and does Tom have the ability, if they wanted to rip that bad boy up and say, I'm going to go quarterback now?
Well, Matt's situation was different because he still had his rights possessed by the Falcons, I believe, or the contract was still active.
He had the Colts.
I mean, no, the Colts, not the Falcons. The Colts. Yeah, you're right. Thank you for the correction. And so it's a different situation. He wasn't. I guess in some ways it's actually not, because I think Tom Brady still has an active contract
with Tampa,
with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So a transaction would have to happen, either him being released or trade, whatever it is. So it feels much more complicated than, oh yeah, I want to play, so I'm going to go play. I honestly feel like he was just answering a question, humoring the interviewer. Simply because it's cool radio and it's making us talk about this guy's podcast.
Bingo, he's an attention whore. That was the second part, right?
Right.
He loves getting attention. Well, and I mean, it works.
He didn't prompt the question. He just answered the question.
Yeah, but he could have answered it differently. He could have said, I'm retired. No, I'm not coming back. I'm done. And the other thing that's very interesting about his answer, because you got to read it, everything he says, is he brought up the Patriots. He was the one who prompted. Can you play that one more time? Listen very carefully to what Tom Brady says. He cuts the interviewer off to say Patriots.
One day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots, somebody, Raiders, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down.
You see what he says? He goes right back to the Patriots and the Raiders, two teams he has a connection with. The Patriots, because he's a legend there, and they're actually having a big ceremony for him in June. And then the Raiders, the team he's trying to buy. It's on this dude's mind.
If he mentions any other team but those two, though, the antennas go up for tampering or something like that.
Imagine if he said Jets.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
What, that if he brings another team up, it's tampering?
It feels like he's pining to go to the 49ers. The guy Vic Blends, that's his name, who did the podcast. If he says, oh yeah, I'd love to play for the 49ers, then it feels like there's some impropriety going on.
So he had to say Patriots, Raiders to get
because
it off.
Those are the two teams that he's, one, got a long-term history with, and two, that he's going to be a minority investor in.
I think there's a 22% chance Tom Brady plays football again. I'm not about 50-50, but I give it a puncher's chance.
I would say it's more like 2.
2%?
2.
What percentage would you give it?
0. He's never playing again.
0?
Never playing again.
0?
Yes.
Wow. You too, Loogie?
50% chance he comes back.
50?
75% chances for the Jets.
Stop it. Stop it. It's never happening for the Jets.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers would never let that happen.
Well, Aaron Rodgers would have had to have collapsed on the field or something like that for that to happen.
Or run for the Secretary of State or something.
Yeah. Now, the Patriots are also having like a celebration
appointed,
of Tom Brady. What was that?
That's appointed, by the way, Louie. Secretary of State.
He's calling me out for being an idiot.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Good job. I mean, we just kind of accept that a lot of what he says is not really based on reality. Though I'll tell you this about Tommy Lugauer. Some bitch is getting ripped off by everybody now.
Is he?
Yeah, not
who,
only.
Who else?
Listen to this.
We
not the only Yankees. Have the Yankees stolen the dog stuff.
Doogie.
From Tommy Lugauer, and Alex Verdugo is Doogie. And I heard a guy call last night to Keith McPherson, like, defending Tommy Lugauer.
Dog! Man,
this is Lugie's shtick. Well, Tommy's going to have to fight a multi-front war. Because not only are the Yankees stealing his shtick.
Dog!
I'd like to play you audio of Philadelphia Phillies outfielder Brandon Marsh.
I'm going to keep saying this, though. We got dudes and dogs on dogs that show up and wow. show out every night.
Dudes wow. and dogs. He went with both of them.
Wow.
Dudes and dogs.
Wow.
Brandon Marsh of the Phillies.
So here's what's going on here.
What's going on?
Because this doesn't
here,
surprise me, because we all know this stuff about Philly, whether it be their athletes, whether it be their radio hosts, whether it be any personality in Philadelphia. They so desperately want to be New York because they're a fake city. They go to sleep at midnight. They want to be New York. They're biters. They're posers. They so desperately want to be like us. So I'm not surprised this guy, and if you ever seen a picture of him, he looks homeless. So he's ripping off Evan's look. He's ripping off my stick. But I know who's at the bottom of this. Our currently fearless leader, Spike Eskin, who's leaving to go to, you know, back to Philly. He fed this to Brandon, probably. He took my shtick. I can't wait for him to do, you know, AI Allen Iverson down in Philly on his new afternoon show.
AI.
He's going to steal everything, Wag Wednesday, you name it. So that's all this is. Spike Eskin, the little, you know, invisible hand behind the scenes, ripped off my stuff, gave it to Brandon Marsh, and he gave it to the Phillies, who are bridesmaids, who are not dudes, who are not dogs. The Knicks are dogs, not the Phillies. Mm. The Phillies are choke artists.
I mean, he is kind of crushing it right now.
Oh, he's great. Brandon Marsh, he's having a great start to the season. He's the MVP of the Phillies offense.
Without a doubt.
He's carrying that offense.
He's, but he's, done a lot of damage.
And he's not a dude. He's not a dog.
I got to tell you, normally I'd say, boy, you're nuts. Like, there's no way Brandon Marsh would copy it, but... Dude, that was dudes and dogs.
I know. How does it happen? It can't just be happening organically.
Like
it can't.
No, and think about it. Like, in the history of scrappy teams, nobody's ever referred to them as dogs before Lugauer did.
No, there's the first. There's the first, man.
Yeah, Lugie was all over it first.
And now you've got
not
the
even
Yankees?
Back in the "Who Let the Dogs Out" era.
That was different.
It's a
that
different
was
different.
Yeah, different. It was about a song, man.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That and it's a different connotation. That song.
Yeah, no,
because it was about. Ugly.
Correct.
Is that what it was about?
Yeah, that's what it means.
Which the Mets were, yeah.
Wait, who let the dogs out? The rally cry of the 2000 Mets was about ugly women?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. It's about showing up to a club and there's only ugly girls there.
And, show up and like that's why they're singing Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yeah, all the boys are showing up and there's no hot girls there. It's all dogs.
That's what that song is about?
Yes. Yep. It was like Grenades before that with the Jersey Shore.
Oh, my God. I never knew that.
Good job. That was your anthem. Awesome.
Well, no, I always hated the anthem. Trust me on that.
You know
that.
What, Evan?
Good instinct.
Go home, turn on that, maybe a little cassette, Who Let the Dogs Out, and eat some bruschetta, and tell us how your Friday night is.
Listen, man, and it's in this book, My Mets Bible, on sale right now. We're having a book event tonight at Astoria. Go to Astoria, what's the website again? Hold on a second. AstoriaBookshop.com for more information.
Yes. Court Street Theater.
I think I mentioned in this book that I hated that rally song. Mm. Like, Who Let the Dogs Out was the worst in 2000. But I had no idea that that's what it was about.
No, it got appropriate.
Yeah, so the Phillies are ripping Lugie off. The Yankees are ripping Lugie off. I kind of feel bad for him. Noel is calling from Queens. What's up, Noel?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Listen, I got a few things. I've listened to you guys. I'm just going to throw a few things out there, and you tell me what sticks. So I'll tell you, with the Knicks game last night, when I saw the spread was 1.5.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure that was a sucker's bet. I thought the Celtics were going to crush them. I got to tell you.
But yeah, I think they got flip-flopped on a little bit because... It felt like they weren't going to play.
Well, but
and then
even
their coach was like, "No, we're playing."
But even still, like when they thought that Tatum and Brown and KP weren't playing, the Knicks were 3-point favorites. Mm-hmm. But then at tip off, it was only 1.5. Like if the Celtics are a fully healthy, functioning team, you would think they're favored by 6 or 7 points against the Knicks at home.
I agree, but you know what? Now they played hard. Now Tatum, he was throwing up bricks, and they were throwing up bricks from 3-point. And I'll tell you, at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah,
when you saw the Celtics when they tried to make that run, they did the trap. That's when the Knicks pushed it up to 30.
Yeah.
So I got to tell you, this fact that the Knicks didn't pick play last night, I got to tell you, in the Celtics.
No, the Celtics tried. But here's the pushback I have on that. Because, yes, and I went back and watched it just out of curiosity because I wanted to see, like, okay, the Knicks kicked the Celtics' ass, but were the Celtics trying? Did the Celtics care? The Celtics cared. There's no doubt. They were trying different things to slow down Jalen Brunson. Yeah. Jaylen Brown was very aggressive. Jason Tatum on switches. They dropped them. They did all that. But, and I don't know if you could answer this because football is such a different sport as an athlete, but they also knew deep down the game doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So even though there was effort and they were trying and the guys were playing, they also knew, hey, there's nothing on the line. And at the end of a long NBA regular season, doesn't that make you say, well.
Yeah. You're just a little bit less focused. And in a professional game, all that little margin for error, it changes everything. Like, if you're not focused just a little bit, you drop a pass. If you're, meaning as a football player, if you're not focused just a little bit, you miss a curveball, right? If you're not focused just a little bit, maybe you're just a little bit lazy on your jump shot. And you miss, because it's such a precise thing to
do. Right.
And so, that clearly was a factor, even though they were trying. But when I say, when you and I say trying, a lot of what we were talking about is what they were trying to do defensively.
Yeah.
It almost feels like they were experimenting defensively.
Right.
How can we potentially try to slow down Jalen Brunson? Now, they didn't do a good job of it, but I gotta tell you, it probably was informative to them. Like, even though they didn't have success, it was informative to them in some way. So, in a game that didn't mean anything to the Boston Celtics, they learned something. Either whether that's beneficial or not, to be determined. If they see them again, but there is a reason that you saw many different ways that they were trying to defend Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
And many different guys trying to check him and then double him and trap him, all those things, whether it was in the backcourt or once they got across the midline. So you knew that Boston was experimenting more than they were, like, we have to try to come back and win this game.
Right.
I think it was less that and more, let's see what works.
Here's what I will tell you. Because earlier in the show, if you missed it, you could rewind on the Odyssey app, especially to the 2 o'clock hour. A caller called in and compared last night's Knicks win over the Celtics to Giants Patriots at the end of the regular season in 2007. And here to me is one of the biggest differences in that. When the Giants played the Patriots in that Super Bowl, a lot of us thought about that regular season game.
Right.
And thought, well, you know, that was the day where the Giants proved, boy, they could play with New England. So much was on the line
But you didn't think about that until the game was tight.
I think leading up to the Super Bowl, it was certainly thought about. Hmm. Yeah, it was only 4 weeks later.
Yeah, but it didn't, like, it was a different kind. I hear you, but I think it became more of the talking point after they won.
Boy, I'm trying to remember in history now. I agree that it became a talking point. We still talk about it to this day. That was 2007. But I think going into that game, it was still like a thing. It may not have been the biggest thing, but it was a thing. If the New York Knicks, who are very likely to either be the 2 or 3 seed, that's the likeliest scenario this weekend, that they're either going to be the 2 or 3. They are not lined up to play the Boston Celtics until the Eastern Conference Finals, if that even happens, by the way. Maybe the Knicks or Celtics get picked off. Who the hell knows? Look what happened last year. If they play in the Eastern Conference Finals in late May, do you think anybody is going to call up this radio station or even just make the point of, hey, guys, remember that regular season game on April 11th?
Yes. You know why?
Why?
If the Knicks destroy them. I'm serious. If the Knicks destroy them and Jalen Brunson scores 50 three times in a 7-game series, people will say, remember that last, that penultimate or whatever it was, the third to last game? We saw it. It was a harbinger of things to come. I'm just telling you.
I don't buy it.
I'm just telling you, because that's what happened with the Giants.
It's different.
No, it's not. It's exactly what happened with the Giants. Oh. Nobody could play with the New England Patriots. The Giants did. And then when they did the exact same thing, like, they played with him. They got after him. Michael Strahan and OC, they harassed the hell out of him, right? They slowed down the unstoppable offense, which they had done in Week 17, right? So when they did it again, it reminded you of Week 17. So if the Knicks in a Eastern Conference Finals against the Boston Celtics just, you know, whoop them, and Jalen Brunson is a big part of it, people will go, oh, you know what? We kind of saw an inkling of this back in early April. Like, that's when it comes back up, just like with the Giants. It came back up because it was the same formula that they used to beat them in the Super Bowl.
I'm going to hold you to this.
All right.
I'm just telling you.
Now, when I hope you see history repeat itself,
I gotcha.
You don't forget where you saw it first.
I'm going to hold you to this, except we're probably not going to have it because someone's getting picked off.
You know what that means, Evan?
What does that mean?
Tonight, the Nets have a chance to set up next year's championship run by beating the Knicks. And lean on it, just like the Knicks did last night.
The Knicks are going to lose on purpose. So
the Nets still in the league.
I want this win tonight, by the way. For anyone coming to the Astoria Book show event that we're doing today at the Court Square Theater, is that where we're at?
That is correct.
AstoriaBookshop.com. Two favors I ask. A, don't spoil the Met game. And B, don't spoil the Knicks-Nets game.
Is it raining? Did it stop?
I have no idea.
It was supposed to stop around 4, Teak.
You're looking out the window. How's it look out there? It's fine?
Yeah,
All right. So don't spoil those two games for me. So does that mean if the Islanders beat the Rangers tomorrow at Madison Square Garden, that means the Islanders will beat the Rangers in the postseason if they face each other at some point?
No, it doesn't mean that they will. But if they beat them the same way, then you'll remember it.
Interesting. Now, if the Rangers beat the Islanders in the playoffs, does that mean we're going to think of the stadium series?
Oh, yes, we will.
I'm sure. We'll get back to your calls in a second, 877-337-6666. We got some baseball to discuss. First of all, the Mets have a big weekend. Not just, hey, can they build off what they did in Atlanta and what they did in Cincinnati, but Sunday's going to be an emotional day. We'll talk to the man of the hour, Doc Gooden, coming up in about 20 minutes.
Mets are home tonight.
It's about damn time. That six-game road trip felt like 150 days. But they're home tonight against the Kansas City Royals, Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, the big Doc Gooden retirement ceremony on Sunday. And then they play the Pirates for a couple of days. Yankees have a doubleheader tomorrow because they got rained out tonight. Real quick, let's go to JP in Yonkers. How you doing, JP?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Fantastic. What's up, man?
What's up?
All right. Now, I just wanted to call because you guys have the wrong interpretation of who let the dogs out.
Okay, oh, go ahead.
Okay,
what was it?
Yeah, so the popular opinion was that it was about ugly girls, and that just became kind of the default interpretation. But as we know, popular opinion can supersede the truth at times, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the song is actually about guys. And the writers of the song, you can look this up to verify, they've come out and they've said it. You know how when you go to a club, you see a group of girls dancing in like a circle?
Yeah.
So the song is about the guys who try to continually push into those circles and how annoying they could be sometimes. And that's where the whole flea-infested mongrel and get back and who let the dogs out kind of came from. So that's actually what the song's about. Thank you.
Thank you, JP. All I know is no matter what the song is about, it is an embarrassment to myself and Loogie as Met fans that it was used as a rallying cry. That's the one thing we could... It could be about the dudes in the club. It could be about the women. It could even be about actual dogs. Like, it could be about, hey, who let the dogs out there running around everywhere? It doesn't matter. In my history in this town all the teams with their slogans and their phrases and the thumbs downs and the bing bongs and whatever you want to come up with, I would tell you, independently and honestly, who let the dogs out was the worst rally cry in the history of New York sports.
But it was a cool song.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't. Also,
songwriter Anselm Douglas and the Baha Men only made this claim about what it was about when they started to get criticized by feminist groups that it was about ugly women.
So they got heat for it and then flipped the meaning of the song was?
They
yes.
didn't want to get canceled. I gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Honestly, I don't know what the hell the song is about.
It wasn't about the Mets, I can tell you that.
By the way, have you guys been hearing, this is like a real issue going around in this country right now, that there is a debate about turning our 5-day work week into a 4-day work week?
Yes.
Like, this is a thing. Bernie Sanders brought it up recently. Met owner Steve Cohen, when he did an interview recently, talked about, hey, I think eventually we're going to get a 4-day work week.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a couple of questions.
Right.
Okay, question number one.
By the way, it feels like a 4-day work week already happened.
Well, that was my
places.
First question. Like, don't we already have a 4-day work week? Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, this building feels like it's a 4-day work week.
It does, doesn't it?
Not knocking our coworkers or anyone else in this building, not just our floors, but it feels like every floor in this building is empty.
Now, let me just say this.
And I just looked out the window to check the weather. Most of that building is empty.
Yeah, that is true. That is true, but maybe people are working at home and that counts as a work day.
And also, it's about how you're getting paid. Like, are you getting paid to show up to work or do some kind of work for 5 days?
Yeah, I mean...
So I think that may be the difference, even though we don't see it.
Look, I think it'll be nuanced, because there's certain things that you don't necessarily have to be in an office. That's what the pandemic taught us, right? You're in sales, you don't necessarily have to be in the office. You work at a garage, you kind of got to be at the office.
Right.
Right, to do what you do, fix the cars, et cetera. You work in sports radio, you kind of got to be at the office to do what you got to do.
Sometimes.
Trust me, we're not getting a 4-day work week. I can promise you that.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm certainly not bringing up the 4-day work week for us. Like, I can't imagine in my lifetime all of a sudden saying, we don't have shows on a certain day. We're going to be on the air 5 days a week.
I think the number of hours is what people are getting hung up on.
And right now, on a 5-day work week, it's 8 hours a day, so it's 40-hour work week, right?
Yes. Okay. And so if a 4-day work week, it would be 40 hours a day, so it's a 10-day. 10 hours a day. 10 hours a
day. So you would just be working the same amount of time, but it would be squeezed into 4 days instead of five.
Yes. And so as I looked at this and interpreted this, I would rather work 8 hours a day and then 1 day from home.
You would rather work 8 hours a day.
So if I had the option to a 4-day work week at 10 hours a day or 5-day work week with 8 hours a day, but one of those days was at home, I would rather do the 1 day at home than work 8 hours.
Forget our job for a second, because I don't think what we do talking on the radio, I don't want to say it's not a real job, because we do work hard, but it's different. Yeah. I'm not talking about us. This is for like everyone listening. If we were given the opportunity, and I mean society, where it's a 4-day week, like that's the new thing, it's going to happen, Steve Cohen thinks it's going to happen, we do have one big disagreement we have to figure out, which is, what's the day we're turning into a weekend? Like, I think that there's this common belief, well, that's Friday. But if you asked me, if I was working a regular 9-to-5 job, because I used to think this in high school, I used to pitch to my teachers, why do we come to school 5 days a week? It should be 4 days a week. And I even used to say, we should come to school for an extra 2 hours every day. And I think that trade-off is worth getting the extra day. And my whole opinion back then, and I have it today too, is if we're adding a third weekend day, I wouldn't want it to be on Friday. And I wouldn't want it to be...
You don't want the 3-day weekend.
I don't want it. I want it to be on Wednesday.
Whoa.
I want to break the week in half so it's Monday, Tuesday, off day Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, off day Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, now we're speaking in like gross generalities because most people don't work... They like prescribed hours. Most people's work weeks are much more than 40 hours a week.
And also, there are a lot of people I know listening who work Saturdays. Right. And maybe they don't work Thursday. So I know it doesn't apply to everybody.
So, but if this was, let's just keep it pure to what it is. 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, or 4 days a week, 10 hours a day. A 10-hour workday is long, long day.
I get you, but then you get the extra day.
I agree, but it's a long day.
I understand.
So if it's a 10-hour workday, I would rather have it Wednesday.
20 hours. Do you agree with me?
I agreed. 20 hours, day off, 20 hours, 2-day weekend.
Yes.
20 hours.
Boom.
Day off, 20 hours, 2-day weekend.
And by the way,
that would feel doable.
Can I tell you the real, like, I love my kids. I'll tell you the real reason, though, I need to preface that, on why the Wednesday is better than the Friday or the Monday. Look, when the weekend comes, I love the weekend, spend time with my kids. I come into work Monday, I'm exhausted, man. Mm-hmm. I just work my ass off.
My weekends are crazy with kids stuff.
See, you know, Sean knows too. Mm-hmm. Sean works harder on Saturday and Sunday than he does on Monday through Friday.
In fact, after your book signing, I'm probably driving to Atlantic City for, guess what? A cheer competition.
See?
Cheer Dad.
Yeah. So imagine doing that 3 days in a row. Mm. Like 2 days in a row is fine. Let's get that middle day where maybe the kids are still in school and you get a little bit of a break. Right? Am I right?
I disagree. As much as having the kids sucks and all that. By the way, I still want them going 5 days. Give me the Friday off. Here's the problem. If you are doing the 10-hour thing, I don't want to work a 10-hour day on a Friday. Then I'm exhausted Friday night going in. Also, I just think we will become more miserable as a society overwhelmingly if you pick Wednesday. Because you will rev your engine off the weekend up for 2 days, then get that day, and then you're like, oh, I got to gear back up for another 2 days?
Hold on, but you're assuming that people are going to use that off day in the middle of the week to go party.
I'm not go party, even if it's an errand day. I just don't like revving the engine down.
Just a chill day.
I know.
A mental health day.
Give me mental health on Friday, dude, and then I'm good for the rest of the weekend.
But if we get a 4-day work week, do we all have to... like come together on a day, or does each person get to pick their own day?
Pick. I think that's the idea. You pick because society keeps going. Then society lives a 5-hour workday while the individuals, or a 5-day, the individuals live a 4-day.
So like for us then, hey, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's all the same because some people may not be working mm-hmm. Monday. Some people may not. Interesting. Well, we got a guy on hold who works a 4-day work week. So he does exist in some circles.
Yeah, 4 days a week, 10 hours a day. Wow.
That's right. Dino in South Plainfield. Dino, first question for you. You ready?
Yes, go ahead.
What's the day during the week that you don't work? Do you get to pick it, or does your company tell you?
All right, so you get to pick it, but it has to be a Friday or a Monday.
Oh, so yes. They want the 3-day
weekend. So I get Friday. And the good thing is that if a holiday falls on your date, that say Friday or Monday, you get an extra day off that week.
It's not bad. So do you prefer this over
I've been doing it for a while.
Like before the pandemic a while?
It kind of started during the pandemic, but they had the option before then. But I started during the pandemic because then I started working from home. Then I permanently started working from home.
And so do you prefer this?
I love it, man.
Wow. This is the future.
It's also because Thursday, you just feel like it's a Friday and you're chilling.
That's true. Wait, so right now, you're not working, Dino, right? You're just chilling out right now?
Nope. Yeah.
That's why it's listening to us. I'm glad you took your off day and you're listening to us on WFAN. Appreciate it. If you missed us early, you can rewind it.
That's a good point. If you were doing some shopping, we talked a lot of Knicks in the 2 o'clock hour. Tom Brady coming out of retirement about 41 minutes ago. Rewind on the Odyssey app. I don't like, though, that you don't get the full choice. Like, what if you want it to be a Wednesday?
But that's just his company.
But if America decides, like if this is a thing that we are going to do as a country.
Yeah, I think America's going to decide on a 3-day weekend.
But which day, Friday or Monday?
It's got to be Friday.
Why does it have to be Friday?
Because Friday always kind of winds down. Like when we get to like 3 months from now, every Friday is going to just be a whatever. Even if you still have a 5-day work week,
right.
Fridays become whatever.
I mean, it's sort of become that in Manhattan anyway, or at least it feels that way.
It is that way now in Manhattan now. But I'm saying once people start saying, oh, let's get a jump start on the weekend. Let's go to wherever we're going to go.
Down the shore in the summer.
Down the shore, go to the Hamptons or whatever the heck, wherever it is you go. Like Fridays have become a dead day during the summer.
They're the lazy day, and they're going to remain the lazy day even if you pick another day. So you might as well just take the lazy day. A company probably would prefer that and be lazy. And
instead of making Monday become the lazy day.
Right. And if we do, as a country and a society, go to a 4-day work week, what does that do for the kids? Like, does that mean schools?
No, they
got to
stay in school for 5 days.
But the teachers don't have a 4-day work week.
They get 2.5 months off. They could do the 5-day work
week. Why are you attacking teachers?
I'm not.
Sounds like you are.
I'm in a family full of teachers, and I see how much margaritas they drink over the summer while I'm working. And it
drives you crazy.
So you're saying we're going to have a 4-day work week except for teachers and anyone who's in the, education department. That's what you're saying?
And by the way, it's not as if educators are Cintas drivers. They go to school for it, and a lot of people would kill to do it. Mm-hmm. They get selected for that job.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if we as a country are literally going to go to a 4-day work week, which they're talking about, which Steve Cohen's talking about, which Bernie Sanders is talking about, that's really a thing. You're telling me it's in most industries, but not all? It's not going to happen to the education industry?
It's not going to happen to our industry.
Our industry is very unique. Put that one aside. We're in the entertainment industry. Okay. That's a little different. It's just different.
Okay, entertainment industry, teaching industry.
Oh, come on. You're comparing it now?
I'm not comparing because they're vastly different. I mean, the money that teachers make is ridiculously low.
Right. So you think they should work 5 days a week while the rest of America is working 4 days a week?
I'm just saying. It's just there are certain industries that this is not going to apply to.
And you think it's, forget us, but you think it's for education as well?
Yeah, I obviously think it will be.
I got to be honest with you. I'm very mixed about it because the realist in me says that's not fair. It's not fair to the teachers. I'm supporting you. But then the other part of me says, I don't want my kids to have an extra day away from school. I want them to be in
school. Look, we're already behind. Kids are behind already enough. Like, they're so preoccupied. It's like, I want them learning as much as they can.
I want them learning. In fact, I have an idea that's the opposite
of
the 4-day work
week. And by the way, what the pandemic also taught us is that we as parents are not good teachers.
We're terrible teachers, actually.
We are horrendous teachers.
I know.
Like, we think, I could do that. I could teach this better than your teacher. The answer is no. Hell no, you cannot.
I was trying to do math the other day. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, I was a disaster.
Oh, I confuse Brooklyn when I try to do stuff for her. Because I'm like, dude, how, do you know algebra? She hasn't learned algebra. Well, I can't solve this without doing algebra. And if they're not teaching you algebra, I don't know how you're getting the answer.
Right.
And so she's just like confused.
No, I know.
Because I would do it a completely different way.
Me too. That's the biggest problem. I think we should do the opposite with the kids. Instead of a 4-day week where you do more hours, I think it should be a 6-day week where you do less hours. That's my pitch. So how long is an average school day? Would you want to say it's like 6 hours? Is that fair to say?
No, I think it's 7.5, 8 hours.
7.5, 8 hours?
My kids are 8:30 to 3 to 3. Yeah.
So it's like seven hours?
Yeah, 7.
Yeah, that's too much. They're kids. ADD. You know, it just flips all over the place. How about we go 5 hours and we go 6 days a week?
Then when are they playing sports?
What do you mean when they're playing sports? After school.
On Saturday?
But Saturdays is when they play soccer, the baseball, that.
Get up early.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
7:30, soccer.
We want them to stay healthy and exercising.
Well, they could do that while they're in school. I don't know. I'm just saying because the attention span is very difficult.
So
keep someone focused.
Make this, the weekend extracurriculars a school activity.
Yeah, how about that? I like that one.
More revenue for the school.
There you go. This is crazy. Let's go to Rich in Farmingdale. What's up, Rich?
How you doing?
We're good.
Good. What's up?
Great. Guys, you got a great show.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
I got a comment on... retirement numbers for a Mets.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm 74 years old. I'm a lifetime Giant fan, Mets fan since the beginning. As far as the retirements of Keith Hernandez, I'm sort of 50-50 on that. As far as Gooden and Strawberry, I'm not on that.
Why?
If they had finished their career with the Mets.
Keith Hernandez didn't finish his career with the Mets.
I know. That's why I'm 50-50 on that.
Mm. You don't think he was a Met long enough?
Yeah.
You know what the problem is, Rich? I get it. But once the door was opened for Jerry Kuzman and Keith Hernandez, I think keeping Doc and Darryl out doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest issue. It doesn't make any sense. But I will tell you something that's bothered me. Okay? And it still does bother me. If you're going to retire a guy's number, can we not treat that number like a cheap trick, if you will, handing it out to everybody?
Oh, yeah.
That kind of bothers me. Like, that annoys me. Like, I don't like that. Now, I'm not saying the Giants are going to retire your number. I have no idea if they're ever going to retire your number. Do you think they're going to retire your number?
No. Why would they retire my number?
I don't know. Sometimes franchise waits like 30 years like the Mets just did with Doc. But then don't hand it out to everybody because it annoys me over the last 20 years when I've seen number 18 for Darryl worn by everybody. 16 worn by everybody. Like, it's just, why are we handing it out to everybody?
I think a lot of this is the Cohen regime. It's the Cohen ownership group. They're doing it differently, and they're looking to respect or bring back some of the history, the successes that the Mets have had over the years. And Doc and Darryl are one of them. Right, at least that season, and I guess moments of their career. So, like, they're just embracing the history.
Yes,
they're
but
not ignoring it.
Let me fix what I said because I want to clarify right now, and I want to use you as the example. I'm going to use Tiki Barber as the example. You just said they're not going to retire your number.
I don't think they are,
and maybe they're not. Maybe they never will. And for a while, I never thought they were going to retire Doc or Darryl's number. But yet, it's weird when someone wears your number. We went through it with the kicker. Who wore his number this year, Sean, and then missed the kick?
Mason Crosby.
Yeah, Crosby.
Mason Crosby.
Right.
How many people said, what are we doing, giving 21 to Mason
but
Crosby?
He wasn't a running back. He wasn't an offensive player. It's different.
It doesn't. I will say this. Over the years, even though I wasn't a proponent of retiring all these numbers, every time someone wore 16 or 18, it was like, it felt uncomfortable.
Even though it wasn't really your era?
Correct. Correct. Because I know, like, it just doesn't feel right, especially when it went to guys that were so undeserving. Like, if your number or if years ago Doc and Darryl's number went to prominent players, maybe they signed in free agency, maybe a big prospect, I'd feel a little bit differently about it. Like, what's his name wore your number, and it didn't affect me as much? Landon Collins.
Landon Collins, yeah.
Because Landon Collins was a good player. I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer, but he was a good player.
Right.
I think when it becomes randos, it becomes just random guys who are going to live in the dustpan of a franchise's history.
It kind of devalues. It makes it feel like it's devalued.
Yes. So I guess what I'm trying to tell you is I have bars on retired numbers. Even if I'm not going to retire Tiki Barber's number,
I don't necessarily think that number should go to a kicker. Does that make sense?
He's trying to show some honor, I think. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel the same way about Vince Carter and Kevin Durant with the Nets. Like, I'm not a proponent necessarily of the Nets retiring VC's number. I know a lot of Net fans disagree with me about that. That's fine. And the same thing with Kevin Durant. But do I necessarily want to see random guys wearing that number? It's
No.
And that's how I always felt about 16 and 18. Like, I would see it be worn by guys who I know are in the dustpan of history.
Yeah.
And it's like, really?
And then when you go back and look at it and be like, wow, who else wore that number?
Yes.
You're going to say, oh, I don't remember that guy. I don't remember that guy.
I'll remember the guy. It'll just be comical.
You will, but I mean, like, history doesn't.
That's a Cinco de Fuego right there, Sean. Look, we gave you a great idea. How about that? All right. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great show.
Appreciate it. What's up,
man?
Now, listen, you know, it's very interesting with the Knicks because, you know, you were saying, I think you were saying earlier, Ev, about they don't get a proper credit. But when I was listening to it, and just give me a minute before you cut me off, I can go really quick. You know, I prepare. I don't know if you remember. You told me I was a caller that prepares the best.
Yeah, I did. Yes, you're very prepared.
Okay, so here we go. All right. So Brunson was named by... Kendrick Perkins is the best player in the East right now.
Okay.
Jack said if I start up a team right now, my point guard is Brunson over anybody else in the NBA.
Okay.
And another great thing about the Knicks, too, is the success is the Villanova connection. It's not only Brunson. Brunson's absolutely the most important cog. But let's not forget, DiVincenzo is like one of the top three-pointers in the league.
Yep.
Hart, you know what I looked up on Hart, if you didn't know that? Hart is averaging 8.4 rebounds per game, right?
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's more than anybody in the history of the NBA at the guard position.
Right. He had 16 last night.
Because he doesn't like he's a guard, but he's not a guard, if that makes any sense. Yeah. Like, I don't think a Josh Hart is a guard, but size-wise, I guess he is. I think the connection that they have, the Villanova connection, has been a great help for this team because they have this chemistry that you see on the floor
all
the
time.
Right,
that they develop from playing a lot of fundamentally sound basketball.
No question. Now, coming up this weekend, the New York Mets take on the Kansas City Royals, but on Sunday afternoon... A day is coming that I'm not sure if this man ever thought the day would come, and that is the retirement of his number into the rafters at Citi Field. We're talking about the great Dwight Doc Gooden. Doc, Tiki Barber, Evan Roberts, how you doing today, pal?
Good. How you guys doing? Thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys.
Well, we appreciate you. I'm curious, was there ever a moment where you thought, I'm going to get my number retired, like while you were pitching, after your career? Did you think this day that's going to occur on Sunday was ever going to come?
Not at all. You know, as a player in the backyard, you know, playing my nephew, Gary Sheffield, you always dream about playing the major leagues one day, possibly playing in the World Series one day, but you never think about getting your number retired. You think about, you know, all the different things, playing against some of your heroes or whatever, but getting your number retired, that's something that never crossed my mind. Even through my playing days, when I was at the highs of my career, that's just something you never think about. You just think about winning the World Series, having your team win, and at the end of the year, if you're close to, you know, winning a war, you think about that. But I never actually thought about getting my number retired until once you retire, and you see a lot of guys getting their numbers retired, and fans sort of question you about it or ask you about it, or the media ask you about it. It crosses your mind sometime, and you wonder about it. But it never something I really thought about until some guys, like, say, when Jerry Kluzman got his number retired, I thought, maybe – I have a chance. But then sometimes you start doubting yourself because of the problems I had off the field. You say, maybe I did too much off the field, and that was, you know, it never happened. But once I got the call last year from Mets owner Steve Cohen, I mean, that's definitely a blessing come true.
Yeah, what do you expect on Sunday, Doc? Like, what do you – I mean, we know what the reaction is going to be. It's going to be cheering, but I'm talking about from you emotionally. Like, what do you expect?
Oh, man, I have no idea how I'm going to accept that. I'm obviously going to be overjoyed. I'm going to have my grandkids here as well as my kids. So my grandkids never seen me play. They were too young. And my 11-year-old grandson, who plays Little League Baseball in Tampa, he's going to catch the first pitch. So it's going to be very emotional. I know that. I'm just going to just soak it all in, you know, because when you're a player and you get all these accolades, you really can't enjoy it as much as you like to because it's on to the next. But with this, I get to enjoy this. And like even now with the momentum leading up to Sunday, and just take it all in and enjoy it as much as I can with my family and the fans who've been with me since day one.
If you haven't gotten tickets, people should get them. It's going to be a fun afternoon, Sunday afternoon. Doc Gooden, his number being retired at Citi Field. We're talking to him right now. I'm curious the origin of 16. You know, for me growing up, I always associated 16 with you because I grew up in the early 90s, and it's Doc Gooden opening day. Doc Gooden. I'll leave out Tuffy Rhodes. That's a bad memory for all of us.
Oh, man. Oh, that was something.
But where did 16 come from?
So, you know, at high school, I was number 5, I was number 9, and I was number 10. So those are my favorite numbers. And when I got drafted, I went to Kingsport for rookie ball, and there was a guy there named Russ Orrick. I'll never forget this guy. He had been in rookie ball for like 3 years. And he goes, I don't care if you're a bonus baby or not. They used to call it like the number one picks or the high draft picks. They used to call us bonus babies. He goes, you're not getting my number. Because I asked the equipment manager who had number 10. He said, this guy, Russ. So he didn't want to give me 10. Somebody had 5. And so I told the equipment manager, I said, give me the closest number you have to number 10 besides number 13. So I always thought 13 was a bad luck number, you know, just growing up as a kid. And he gave me 16. So the next year, I go to A-ball, which is Lynchburg. 16 is available, so I did 16 again. And so I said, well, 16 is going to be my number. Now, fast forward to 1984, I go to spring training as a non-roster player. I went number 64 with no expectations of making the club. I made the team only because of David Johnson. And I remember when I made the team, our general manager, Frank Cashin, told me if I have any problems with anybody or I need anything, just come see him. So we get to Shea Stadium to work out. First, I work out, and in my locker is a jersey hanging up with my name on the back, and it's got number 35. So I go to Charlie Samuels' office, who's the equipment manager, and I say, Charlie, can I have number 16? His exact words was, get out of here, kid. Just be happy you made the team.
Wow.
So I got out of his office, and I ran up to Frank Cashin's office. I said, Frank, I want number 16. Nobody has it, but Charlie won't give it to me. Frank came in there, made Charlie give me 16, but then I found out later the reason Charlie didn't want to give me 16 because he was good friends with Lee Mazzilli, and Mazzilli was the last guy to wear 16 before I got 16.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
And then in 86, when Mazzilli, we signed Mazzilli bike to us in 86, I offered 16 bike to Lee, but he said, no, that's your number now. You enjoy it. And that's really how I became.
Wow, that's a cool story.
And you, anyway, so you offered 16 back to Lee upon his return. You didn't ask for anything? Like, there wasn't any kind of negotiation? It was just you were going to give it to him for nothing?
Well, he didn't do it back then.
It was one of those things where you offered it back to him, but you're hoping he says no.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad 16 stuck, because 35 just wouldn't have looked right.
Yeah. No, 35 didn't look right. No.
Yeah, it's too wide of a number for your frame. You know, it wouldn't have looked right. So we were having this conversation, Doc, because the Giants in my 17 years, I think there's been 3 guys that have worn my number. Does it bother you when other guys wear your number? I mean, now they won't forever, but has it bothered you, I should say?
You know, that's a great question, and no knock against anybody. So last year, I was doing an autograph signing at the American Dream Mall, you know, the mall right by the Giants.
Of course,
I ended up doing a sign-in. And I go by the sporting goods store, and it's got Nomo. Remember Nomo?
Yes, they are Nomo. We're 16.
It has Nomo 16 on a Met jersey hanging up in the store. Oh, so nothing against Nomo, but, you know, you're like, wow, that kind of hurt a little bit. That did hurt.
I was explaining this earlier, Doc. It hurt me because I feel like with your number and with Darryl's number, they wouldn't just hand it out to people. They would hand it out to, and I will take shots at some guys, like Alejandro de Aza. Like, no offense to him, or maybe some offense to him. He's a fourth outfielder, and they're giving him 16. Like, it's one thing when it's, okay, like Paul Laduca was a good Met.
Yeah.
He was a good, he ain't you, but he's a good Met. Okay, fine. Yeah. But to me, as a fan, it bothered me when it went to just about anybody, you know?
No, I get it. You know, I felt good when, like, Derek Bell, when he was there, he was 16. But Derek Bell, actually, I was on the Yankees, and Derek, we grew up in Tampa together. He's the same age as Gary Sheffield, my nephew. And so Derek Bell's mother was good friends with my sister. But when Derek went to the Mets, he actually called me and asked me, did I mind if he wore 16?
Wow.
Not that he had to ask, but I felt that made me feel pretty good that he would take the time out to do that.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Okay, so coming up this Sunday, you'll be out getting your number retired. Are you speaking? Are you going to say anything?
Yeah, they will give me a chance to talk.
All right.
It's going to be great. And I always wanted this opportunity since 94, to be honest with you, when the Mets wanted to cut ties, you know, I got suspended. And the thing was, I understood from a business standpoint that they wanted to cut ties, but I didn't want to go out on that note. I always wanted to address the fans to let them know how much I thanked them and how much they meant to me and how much they always stuck by me through my ups and downs. And my showed them my appreciation to them as well. But unfortunately, I never got the opportunity to do that. And even when I retired as a with the Yankees in 2000, I tried to sign a one-day contract with the Mets, but I was told no. And I'm not saying I tried the Mets or anything, but they told me I couldn't do it. And so now I get the opportunity to address the fans and let them know how much they meant to me and to share that moment with my kids and grandkids.
Oh, that's great.
Very, very special.
That is awesome. I always, as a fan, after the departure in 94 and then going to the Yankees and having a little bit of success pitching the no-hitter, I always had this dream that they would bring you back. And when you did come back as a freaking Yankee at Shea Stadium day in July, it was weird, man, because we cheered for you. Like, I remember getting up as one of the rare times I'll ever cheer a Yankee at Shea Stadium, but it's freaking Doc Gooden coming back. Were you ever in conversations or close at ever? You mentioned the one-day contract, but was there ever a conversation with the Wilpons or Steve Phillips about coming back and actually pitching for the Mets in 2000?
Oh, it was. So, definitely. So you got to take them part of my speech. So when the Mets were to cut ties, I signed with the Yankees, 96 and 97. After the 97 season, I talked to Steve Phillips, and I'm not taking a shot at Steve Phillips or nobody. He's a good friend of mine. And I asked him, I said, is there any chance I can come back to the Mets? He said, unfortunately, we don't have any room. We have our staff now. We wish you all the best. So I signed with Cleveland, went to Cleveland, 98 and 99. After the 99 season, I called the Mets again. So I'd like to come back. Any chance, you know, any room or whatever. He said, unfortunately, we still don't have that duck. Wish you the best. 2000, I signed with Houston. I pitched one game. I traded to Tampa. I pitched 8 games and got released. I called the Mets again. I said, I'll go to AAA. I'll do whatever it takes. I just want to finish as a Met. And I was told no. And by me living in Tampa at that time, and the Yankees having training in Tampa, George Steinbrenner called me himself and said, asked me if I still wanted to pitch. I said, yes. He said, go over to the Miley Complex and work with Billy Connors, the late Billy Connors. And he said, if it doesn't work out, you can't work for me. So I went over there. I worked out a little bit. I threw like 2 minor league games, nothing special. One morning, the next morning, Billy called me in the office. And I'm thinking they're going to release me. And he says they need a pitcher in New York. They want you to pitch the day game at Shea Stadium. And the night game is going to be at Yankee Stadium. But they want you to pitch at Shea Stadium. And that's all I really wanted, was a chance to go back to Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
And I remember I was thinking to myself, I say, I'm not really ready. But I can't say I'm not ready because I'm trying to make the team. And I pitched good. I beat the Mets. And we only beat the Mets in a World Series. So yeah, that was kind of special. Even though I'm always going to be a Met, but that was kind of special.
Yeah, I remember that. That was quite a day, the doubleheader.
Evan's like, great story.
Yes, trust me, I live the story. We're talking to Doc Gooden, his number's being retired on Sunday. If you haven't, buy tickets, head out. It's going to be a great day. There is something about your career, and I don't know how often you've ever been asked about this, and I only uncovered this during the pandemic because I was bored, and I was just reading stats. And I went through Tony Gwynn, one of the greatest hitters of all time. Tony Gwynn has great career numbers against everybody. It's absurd. Against John Smoltz, 450. Against Greg Maddux, 380. Against any good pitcher in the history of baseball, Tony Gwynn destroys them, except for Doc Gooden. And the numbers that Tony Gwynn has against you were anemic. He was a 240 hitter against Doc Gooden. So here's my question. Well, first of all, did you know that? Like, did you know your ownage of Tony Gwynn in his career?
I only found that out, unfortunately, when Tony passed and they had those stats up like you just mentioned. That's the only way I knew, because Tony was a great hitter. And he's one of the guys that I never tried to strike out. I always tried to make him, you know, make contact, but make him hit a good pitch. Mm-hmm. But I knew I wasn't going to strike him out. Unless I got 2 strikes, I might take a shot at it. But he was a tough hitter, man, and a tough guy to strike out. But I didn't know his stats off me until when he passed away. And like you just mentioned, they ran some stats on the board, and that's when I figured it out.
Do you think that that's why you had success against him, that maybe you had just a different – because you knew. I mean, Tony Gwynn would never strike out. But do you attribute that to how you were able – because I think that's one of the most – I think it's actually one of the most impressive accomplishments. Like, his numbers against everybody, all these all-time greats, they're awesome, 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 awesome. And you are the guy – you were the kryptonite to Tony Gwynn. Why do you think that was the case?
I think the thing is, like, he didn't really have that many weaknesses. But a lot of times as a pitcher, you try to keep hitters off balance. And what I mean by that, you keep them uncomfortable. Not throwing at guys or trying to hurt guys, but making them move their feet. And what I mean by that, pitching high and tight, down and away, changing their eye levels, and keep them guessing. Like, Tony was the best hitters in all of baseball all the time to me, especially in my era. So a lot of times, I knew I wasn't going to strike him up. I just mixed my pitches up. Just try to keep him uncomfortable. Every other bat, I might try to knock him down a little bit. Again, not to hurt him anything,
but just to keep them comfortable. And I think that played a major part of it.
Yeah, you know, so Doc, when you were pitching, I was in Roanoke, Virginia. I mean, I was more of a Braves fan than anything simply because they were on TV all the time. Yes. So I saw you a lot. And the thing that like sticks in my mind about you is like your Gumby arms, right? Like, there's no bone. It's just all like muscle and like and ligament and it just moves. Mm-hmm. And you really never had injuries. And I bring that up because we're seeing an epidemic happen in baseball where starting pitching is really battling an injury bug. And Evan and I have talked about it. Some of it's because these guys are just rearing back and throwing 99 every time. It's obviously the lack of the sticky stuff and, you know, gripping the ball harder. But, you know, when I think back to you, it looked effortless. It didn't look like you were like trying to throw hard. I wonder if that's a lesson for some of these younger pitchers who are now lifting more, right? Their body construction is different. Like, you have all these oblique issues. Are they trying? Are they doing too much?
Oh, that's a great question. And you're right on with that. I was very lucky and very fortunate that my dad was very knowledgeable of baseball and mechanics and all that. And he taught me about pitching when I was 9 years old, about mechanics. He taught me how to throw a curveball at that age. He felt like it wasn't what you throw, it was how you throw it. He was real big on mechanics. And even when I got to the big league level, he always, after every start, I had to call my dad and we talk about pitching. And he always basically dissected my mechanics to make sure it was fatigue. I think now what you're saying, and it's just my opinion, like you said, guys are bigger and stronger. They lift weights, heavy weights, which in my time, we stayed away from that. And everything's about velocity. Everything's about spin rate. And a lot of this, I blame the system. The teams are doing that because these are guys that are drafting. They're not teaching mechanics anymore. All the pitches they're throwing from like half of the wind up, half from like the set position. So you're not going from a fully wind up position. And everything's about velocity and spin rate. You take a guy like Greg Maddux or Tom Glavin, they probably wouldn't even get drafted if they were coming in the draft today because they didn't throw 95, 96. And that's where the game is going now. It's about power, strikeouts, and hitting home runs with the lunch angle. And the game has changed so much. But I was big on mechanics. Velocity, like you said, I'll add and strike. I knew how to add and strike. I only had two pitches, fastball, curveball. I would change speeds of my curveball. My fastball, I would add and strike. Well, a lot of pitches now, they're throwing less. They're throwing 4 to 5 innings, no more than 100 pitches. They're not facing the lineup 3 times around. So they're mixing out. And you can only mic out so much, and you're going to blow out. And I think that's what's happening today. And that's why you see so many injuries, in my opinion. Yeah.
I completely agree with you. So on Sunday, your number will officially be retired. You join this exclusive class of Mets who have their numbers in the rafters. And being in that class, I'm curious, who should be next? Obviously, Darryl will join you in a few months, but is there anyone else, in your opinion, in Met history who should join that exclusive company of having their number retired?
Oh man, you're putting a heat on me with that. wow. There's some guys. I mean, oh man, that's a tough one. I think, you know, Mookie should be right there, but if I went with that's my friend. If I go with my heart and my true gut feeling, I might say David Wright might be the next guy in line. Mm-hmm. That's just me. I'm taking a wild guess, not looking at numbers or anything. But I might have to go with David Wright.
All right, I think we'll see it. Call. I think David will definitely get it. Doc, enjoy Sunday. I'll be in the building. Can't wait to cheer you on. We appreciate it, and congratulations, man.
Congrats, Doc. Good to chat
Thank
with you.
You too. Thank you guys for having me, and I appreciate you guys.
You got
Thank
it. You so good, man. The great Dwight Gooden. Dwight Eugene Doc Gooden, better known as Doc Gooden. I'm quoting Doc the Video. I watched Doc the Video many times as a child on VHS tape.
That's great.
But he was great. So that'll be a fun day on Sunday afternoon. Mets against the Royals. You can buy some tickets, hang out. Should be a fun, fun afternoon. Weather looks like it's going to be clear. So that's going to be very, very cool. It's going to be an awesome day.
Are we doing Cinco?
Yeah, we are.
I guess we're going to do Cinco.
He got pushed back. I mean, Sean, don't be offended.
You
got
to wait.
No, I know. I'm just curious.
Would you want a few minutes? It's up to you.
I'm ready to go. Okay, what does Loogie want? I think we should go to that.
It's up to you, Loogie.
EP, executive producer.
Let's do Cinco and then break.
Okay. Get on air and give us a big time Cinco. Hopefully it's going to be good. I mean, he's had some crappy Cincos recently.
No, you're following Doc Gooden, you know.
Cinco to Five-O.
One no-hitter. Give me a break.
What?
Oh, you're such an ass.
Cinco de Five-O's brought to you by Sean Morash.
Yeah, Cinco de Five-O's brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's.
He got a lot of compliments from
the new
last night.
Bacon here today.
people saying Cinco de Five O's the best. We love it. Keep it going. Yeah.
That's because they only listen to half of them.
Whoa. Man, this is a testy Friday. And by Wendy's, try the new pretzel baconator today. All right, so off of Doc's big day Sunday, beautiful weather, excited for it. I'm going to give you the five most random Mets to wear the number 16 since Doc Gooden last wore it.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Number five.
Danny Muno?
Danny Muno. Ooh.
Muno.
Oh, my God.
Who was that?
17-game MLB.
Wasn't he an infielder?
Yes.
Okay.
He had a 17-game MLB career, all with the Mets in 2015.
Seven? Career?
And they gave him number 16.
This is
career,
my,
not yeah. like with the Mets.
No,
like,
no. It was all minor leagues before, all minor leagues after.
Wow.
He only got to the bigs for 17 games, and the Mets gave him 16.
This is my point. This is what we were, and Doc admitted it bothered him a little
bit.
What
year was this?
2015.
That was a good year. Went to the World Series that year.
Not because of him.
Just really done with Doc, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of alluded to that, and it's like, I don't know. That's just that seems do you like think it bad
was
form.
You think it was vindictive by the Wilpons, like on purpose?
Feels like it.
Yeah,
I'm not stating it, but it feels like it.
No, listen. The fact that and Doc said this that he wanted to come back. Forget about coming back, yeah. which I would have preferred. I understand. Okay, the Mets made a baseball decision not to bring him back. I disagree, but whatever. He wanted to come back on a 1-day deal, and they wouldn't even do that.
No.
That's ridiculous. He's a beloved Met. He was so beloved that when he came back as a Yankee, he got a standing ovation.
Right. So what are we saying? Thank you, Steve Cohen. That's what that means.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve Cohen.
Danny
yeah.
Muno.
By the way, that's only number five. So here we go. Oh,
number four. Of course.
Rick Ankiel.
Yeah. Oh,
20 games he appeared with the Mets in 2013. He batted 180. Mm. He did homer versus the Cardinals in his Met debut. But did he really need number 16?
Did he pitch at all?
No. When he came to the Mets, he had already converted into a full-time.
I mean, was there ever an occasion where he had to get in and throw some pitches?
Like no. Like the Braves with Guillorme? No. Not.
But he legitimately couldn't do it anymore.
Well,
correct?
So Rick Ankiel was a really yeah. good young left-handed pitcher and just lost it. And actually happened in the postseason against Atlanta.
The Yips.
Yeah.
The year the Mets actually beat St. Louis after they beat Atlanta, and it became like hard to watch almost. Mm. Like, oh my God, this guy can't pitch. And then, to his credit, he resurrected his career in the minor leagues yeah. as a position player. And when he came back, I don't think he ever pitched again. Like, it was strictly yeah. being a position player. And I give him credit for that. But 16 with the Mets? No gracias.
Yeah, so by the way, our first two combined 37 games. The number 16 was crazy. Here we go.
Number three.
Daisuke Matsuzaka.
And that makes it worse because he's a pitcher.
Yeah.
Because he's actually trying to do the same things that Doc Gooden
right, that's like giving someone for the Giants 21 and they're play running back.
That's right.
And, yeah. I mean, let's be honest, Daisuke's career was a bust already with the first team. He was with the Red Sox before he came to the Mets.
The number one thing I remember about Daisuke Matsuzaka, besides sucking, is he would take an hour and a half in between pitches. Like, the pitch clock would have destroyed the destroyable already because it took yeah. him forever to pitch.
And why is Daisuke important here?
Why?
Because he first donned it in 2013 after Rick Ankiel wore it in 2013. So they double dipped it in 2013.
Wow.
They couldn't wait to rehand it out in 2013. Here we go.
This really does sound like it's intentional.
Yeah.
Number two.
Hideo Nomo.
Yeah. Well, Doc said it. Guy shows or he sees it. Number 16, Hideo Nomo Met jersey.
Unbelievable. Nomo was really fun with the Dodgers for a little bit, but his Met tenure not.
Yeah, like when they got Nomo from the Dodgers, I remember sort of being excited. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's Hideo Nomo. But it was not Hideo Nomo.
It was
you know
not.
What I mean.
Yeah. But number 16 for him. And last but not least.
Number one.
The last Met ever to wear the number 16.
Hold on. I got to think about this.
Okay.
I think Jake Marisnik wore 16, but I think there was someone after. Oh, I know who it is. I got the guy. World Series champion. Travis Jankowski.
That's right.
I'm a loser.
He had a three-hit game in the Mets' home opener in 2022.
Good little Met.
Broke his hand in May making a diving catch. Ended up coming back for a little bit. It was DFA'd in July of 2022. He, like Doc Gooden, also played for two New York baseball teams. The other being the Stony Brook Seawolves, where he went to college.
How about that?
And that will be the last Met ever to wear number 16.
Wow.
How about that? That's
and that word. Is your Cinco de Five-O. Doc. And everybody go and have a day on Sunday.
Wow. There you go. Good
that was
job,
a great
Sean.
One, Sean.
Yeah, very good.
Good thing we did it before the break. Good call, Loogie.
Thank good call and all.
That was a very good call. I got a little news for you.
What's that?
Got a little news.
What's that?
Got a little, you want me to tell you now?
Yes.
Put it this way. When we come back, I will tell you with definitive answers from a very good source. I'll even reveal the source because he did some good work.
Mm-hmm.
We know about Tom Brady's contract status if he wants to play football again.
Oh. I'll let you know what that is. Plus, we'll get back to your calls, 877-337-6666.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.